1 Corinthians chapter 1, continuing our study this morning from the book of 1 Corinthians. Last Sunday, of course, was the first message, and this Sunday morning will be our second message of being called. Sometimes we don't really view ourselves as being called of God, but everyone here is called of God. Called of God to be used in a special way. And today we're going to examine a call of unity. We're going to talk about unity within the church. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Begins the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the church there at Corinth. And he's addressing some issues within that church. And verse 10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak all the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." And we'll stop right there. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for giving your Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my punishment to that cross of Calvary. Every pain, every lash, the nails, the crown of thorns, Lord, you did that all for me and for every sinner. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, that through your sacrifice, we have eternal life for all who will call upon you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in this service. Lord, we open our hearts to you and just pray for your conviction, for your comfort, for your encouragement, for whatever is needed in each individual life, Lord. Just bless as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My goodness, I want to tell you something. I love church. Apparently I'm the only one that loves church. Now we're not going to do that. We're not going to sit here and just kind of, today. I expect an amen every once in a while, okay? I do. I love church. I love being a part of the family of God, that local New Testament church where we come together each week and worship together and just enjoy fellowship with one another, but more importantly, as a whole, fellowship with God. I want to tell you, when church is right, it's good. Amen. You know, when you come and you look forward to coming to church, knowing you're going to hear from God, oh, that's special. When you look forward to coming to church, to being with God's people and enjoying interaction and fellowship with God's people, that's special. You realize that doesn't exist everywhere, right? But in the same respect, when it's wrong, it's wrong. Have you ever seen it when it's wrong? Oh my goodness. It's tough. Instead of looking forward to coming to church, you don't want to come to church. You think, oh man, it's Sunday. And instead of looking forward to spending time with God's people, You say, oh, I hope so-and-so isn't there. I just can't face them today. Or you see them coming and you see them from a distance and you go the other way because you just really don't want to talk to them. I mean, those conditions do exist in churches. And the church at Corinth that we're going to study today or look at today and in the coming weeks was at a point where things were going really, really wrong. Now, I'm glad today that I can preach this message and these series of messages from a standpoint of, I think God is blessing. Well, I know God is blessing at Victory. And as we preach about unity today, I can preach it with a clear conscience and an open heart because I don't know of any disunity at Victory. However, that being said, if there is, you're going to know it, okay? Because God's going to speak to your heart. So don't put God off. Don't dismiss God. Because it starts small. That disunity. And today as we look here, Paul's plea. We start with Paul's plea. And he said in verse 10, I plead with you. Or literally, I beg you. I want you to think about what he's doing here. This subject is so important. It is so vital to the well-being of this church at Corinth that he is literally begging the church, y'all please listen. And he adds to the begging by the name of Jesus. And I like how he adds that. You see, Paul is not just straightening them out. Sometimes we preachers get on the pulpit and stomp and beat and just really give the membership what for, going to straighten them out. But you know, when there's a crisis in a church, when there is a problem with unity in a church, usually that approach does not work. It just ruffles more feathers. And Paul didn't use that approach here. He says, please. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because see, there are some things that just don't belong with Jesus. And disunity in a church does not belong with Jesus. You cannot be wrong with the church and right with Jesus at the same time. Okay? So Paul is literally pouring out his heart, asking them that there please be no divisions in the church. And that word division means tear, like a rip in the fabric. The church at Corinth there had problems, as I said before. Tears in the fabric. Do you realize any church is just basically one tear away from destruction? One rip away from serious problems. You see, have you ever noticed that on either side of a tear, and if you have a piece of fabric and you have a tear in the middle, have you noticed that there are two sides on each tear? And the longer that tear remains, it does not just sit there. The longer that tear remains, what happens? The bigger it gets. Boy, I want to tell you, when I was a kid, I used to be the world's worst wearing my blue jeans, the knees out of my blue jeans. And my mama, bless her heart, that was before holes in your pants were cool. Okay? And my mama, she could patch those holes. And buddy, when she had patched those holes, the rest of those jeans might have fallen apart. But 10 years from now, that patch was still going to be there. I mean, it held. It was good. My mama couldn't stand to see me with holes in my pants. A little different today, isn't it? You buy them with holes in them. I still don't get that. I'm sorry. But the point is, the longer a tear is there, the bigger it gets. The longer a tear is there, the bigger it gets, the farther apart the two sides become. Until finally, it rips absolutely into two distinct pieces. That's the fear that Paul has, and that's the reason he's addressing this church at Corinth. He's saying we've got to address this now before it comes to the point where separation completely occurs. Because isn't that how problems arise in a church? I mean, it starts out pretty small, right? Somebody says something a little contrary, hurts your feelings. Then you just can't let go of it. Then you begin to look for other issues to take exception with. And the tear gets a little bigger, because as you look for issues to take exception with in a church of imperfect people, the more you look, the more you're going to find, right? And so that tear becomes bigger and bigger. And the more you look, the bigger the tear. Till finally, there's a big rip right down the middle. Both sides are completely torn apart. That's the picture that Paul's painting. And the scripture that I want you to consider, that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. And it reminds us why this is so very important. Verse 25, Jesus said, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. What Paul is suggesting, when there is division, when there is tears in the fabric of the church, it cannot stand. It's a death warrant. That's why Paul is begging, saying, look, we can't have this. Paul begs because Paul knew. Right? Paul begged because Paul knew what was going on in the church at Corinth. He said that contentions had been declared to him by the household of Chloe. Big tattletales. You know, you always got somebody that's wanting to tell on you. Now, I don't think that was it. As a matter of fact, I think it was brought to Paul's attention out of concern, a loving concern. And as it was brought to Paul's attention, that word declared, it means to make clear. And as it was brought to Paul's attention and Paul looked at it, he's telling them, he's saying, look, it is abundantly clear that you have major problems at Corinth. It's plain that there are divisions in the church. It's plain that there are tears in the fabric. You don't have to be there long to see that sort of thing. Have you ever noticed when you walk into a church, there is a spirit in that church? Okay? A spirit of love, of affection, of a desire to worship God, of a desire to please God, a spirit of unity. But at the same time, there's also another option. There can be a spirit of disunity, a spirit of anger, a spirit of coldness. Heard a preacher say one time he visited the church and he started sliding when he walked in the door and didn't finish till he slid out. It was so cold. You know? Why is that? Because there is a spirit. And I'll tell you, you do not have to be in that church for very long before you know that spirit. You can tell it through the pastor. You can tell it through the members. You can tell it through the ushers. You can tell it through the deacons. You just know, and you may not know the details, but you just know things are not right at that church. Why? Because it's obvious. When there are tears in the fabric of the church, you can't hide it. That's why this is so very vitally important, to be on guard. Paul said, I know, because the contentions or divisions have been declared to me by Chloe's household. And then he asked the question, is Christ divided? See, he puts it back in their court. Has Christ been divided into different parts and handed out to different people to do with however those different people please? Is that what Christ is about, Paul says? Does Paul have one part of Christ and Apollos have another part of Christ? And actually, if you break this down, the picture that he's making is that is Christ being cut into pieces and saying, here, Paul, you have this piece, and Apollos, you have this piece. And what a gruesome picture. What a gruesome, ugly picture that Paul is painting here. And that's what he's asking. He's saying, is that what Christ is about? Everybody does their own thing and goes their own way? No, of course not. Christ is not divided. And anybody, and this would serve to open the eyes of the Corinthian, just this question you've got to answer, is Christ divided? No, absolutely not. With that in mind, we have to realize that there is no room for competition in a church. Competition cannot be allowed. Okay? Competition, what I'm talking about is them against us. You've seen it before, right? You know? I mean, it can be young against old. Those young folks think that the old folks are just way out of touch. And if you think that as a young person, listen, they've forgotten more than you'll ever know. Be a little more respectful, okay? But then you've got the older folks that, oh, those young people are just so out of control. They like that kind of music. And on and on they go. Listen, no. Here's a flash for those of us who are older. Things are going to change. I mean, that's just the nature of the world. Things change. Okay? Don't let those changes make you bitter. Okay? Don't do it. See, there's a decision to be made. Will you let these differences of what the young like and what the older like, will you let these differences drive dividers between you so that it's us against them? Or will you just say, well, you know, I don't care for it, but I love those young people anyway. As a young person, can you say, well, I might not like those old things they do, but I love them. They're such a sweet, caring individual. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice to allow a division to occur or to not to allow a division to occur. Music. One of my favorite things, you know. Something that I smile at today. You know, the young people. The movement today is that when they start singing, they stand up. And they never sit down. You know what I'm saying? And they like it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I smile when I hear some of us older folks say, man, can we just sit down, please? I can sing good sitting down, too. Does it matter if you stand up or sit down? No. It don't. As a matter of fact, you know, we'll tend to cast stones because the young people want to stand up and they just need to sit down and be still. Or the young people will say, well, those old people are just not as spiritual as we are because they're sitting through the song. No. Huh? We got to love one another anyway. Amen. Right? Amen. Love each other anyway. I mean, here's the fact. We are a church. And I say we because we're the ones here. So I got to preach to y'all this morning, okay? So, but we are a church of imperfect people. And we are a church of diversity. I mean, some people like one thing, some people like another. And that's all well and good. Everyone can have their own opinion. But here's the thing. Eventually, somebody's going to get on somebody's nerves. Why? Because we're people. Can you amen that? Amen. The question is, what are you going to do when they get on your nerves? What are you going to do when you really... Now, I'm not talking about something scriptural. We're going to get into scriptural here in a minute. But something you just really don't care. What are you going to do with that? There's one option. Love them anyway. You don't have to like it, but you do have to love them according to the Word of God. Okay? And that applies to all. Young, old, middle age, whatever category you're in, that commandment of love applies to everyone. You see, Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, Paul describes us like this. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're one body. We're one. And we can allow nothing to divide us. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. Because a body that's divided cannot honor Jesus Christ. It cannot function. I love being the body of Christ. I love the thought of being the body of Christ. How that some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are legs, some of us are you know, the different parts. But the joy is watching as it all works together. As some folks participate in the orchestra, as other folks participate in the choir, as others participate in singing out there, as others teach Sunday school class, and the list goes on and on. But it all comes together in a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Beth and I have been trying to exercise more lately. Shared that with y'all a few months ago. Do you know what I found about exercising? It makes me feel good. It makes my old body not so stiff, not so stove up. It makes me feel good. We are the body of Christ. When we exercise that body in love, when we choose not to allow any kind of division within our church, we are choosing to feel good. And I say, I love walking in that door and meeting the membership of this church and smiling, saying, how are you today? And receiving a smile back. What a blessing that is. I love worshiping with this body, you know, and being blessed as we lift up our hearts in praise to Almighty God. Here is the challenge. We are the body of Christ. Individually, we are members of one another. Let nothing, not even hell itself, create a division in that body that God has blessed us with. It's too good. It's too enjoyable to allow any division. Then we go on. Paul gives a prescription. A way to fix the problem at Corinth. And he starts with be connected. Okay? Literally speak the same thing. Speak the same. Focus on the message. Okay? Here was the problem at Corinth. There was a different message coming from different sects. They had divided upside. And see, some of them were saying, I am of Paul. And I am of Apollos. Or I am of Cephas. Or, you know, and they were all trying to look better than the other one. You see, philosophy in that day was very popular. Theology was very popular. And so everybody wanted to look more intelligent than somebody else. And part of that intelligent look went along with whatever master you followed. Whatever master teacher that you followed. Okay? And so their goal was to stand out head and shoulders above others. And they were using Paul or Apollos or someone else to try to stand out as better. Paul said, no. No. You got to get back to the foundational message of who you are. We go to great lengths today. I find it interesting, you know, I've through the years, I've heard people get on the seminary kick. There are some people who like seminaries, and there are some people who don't like seminaries. You ever seen them? Just depends on who you run up on. Well, a seminary don't make a preacher, they'll say. True. True. But I've seen a lot of untrained preachers that could have done a lot better had they had a little education in the seminary too, you know. And we pursue those degrees and we get bachelor's and master's and doctorates, you know, from that seminary education. But you know what the beautiful part is? The beautiful part is that no matter how much study that you do, no matter how many degrees that you get, the simplistic message that Jesus saves has never changed. And that has to be the focus. That is the thing that connects the body of Christ. For us to get that message out, because beloved, if there was ever a time that our world needed to know who Jesus Christ is, that time is today. I mean, watch the news, see the hurting people, see the lives that are falling apart. Jesus is the answer. And you don't have to have a doctorate, seminary degree to declare that wonderful message. All you've got to do is share how great Jesus has been to you. If you're wondering, yes, I've done seminary. You know, I'm not against that by any means, and I didn't bring that up to suggest that it's wrong. But I do bring that up, or I never want anything to cloud our minds from our central message and purpose, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Be connected. Get on that level that we have one purpose. And then be perfectly joined. Okay, here's where we expand a little bit. He said, be perfectly joined with the same mind and the same judgment. What he's talking about there is, of course, the doctrine, what you believe, what you teach. You see, there were a lot of problems, a lot of things wrong at the church at Corinth. There were abuse of speaking in tongues, and we're going to get to that later, okay? There were questions of eating meats that had been offered to idols. There were morality issues. I mean, they were just all over the map. And some people would say one thing's okay. Some people would say another thing. I mean, they were just a shotgun kind of. Array of things that were going wrong in that church. Paul says we got to get back to joining together in our doctrine and our belief system. How can we apply that to us today? I think we as churches have failed to stand up for the truth of God's Word oftentimes. Okay? I think we've been afraid to take a stand and call sin, sin. And we often, in the fear of hurting someone's feelings or offending someone, so we just don't say anything anymore. And because of that, we have homosexual pastors in the world today. And beloved, that's wrong. Okay? We have immorality in the world today. In churches. And beloved, that's wrong. Okay? And you can just make your list of whatever that sin is. And it's what's happened. It's a failure of the church to take a stand. And God has given us guidelines in His Word. And it's not designed for God to be setting up in heaven saying, go ahead, break that law so I can strike you with a lightning bolt. That's not who God is. You know what the guidelines are about? The guidelines are about guidance in our lives. They're about giving us rules so that we can enjoy a happy and abundant life in Jesus Christ. It's like a parent. Do you give your children guidelines? I certainly hope so. You tell them don't touch the fire. Why? Because it will burn them. Why does God say that marriage is between one man and one woman? Because they're going to get burned. They're going to be destroyed by their sin. Okay? And we as churches have a responsibility to take those stands. And to not take those stands, Jesus gave us those guidelines. Like I said, not to ruin our lives, but to make our lives worth living. And to not take a stand on those issues, to not preach sin as sin, is to say, I don't care. It is. You say, Brother Doug, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging. When I take a stand, when I say something's wrong, I want to be able to point in the Word of God, here's why it's wrong. Okay? I'm not judging. See, the judging indicates that I'm deciding what's right and wrong, and I'm not. We as a church have a responsibility to take a stand, to be perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. And it's never easy. Never. When I was raising my kids, every once in a while, I would have to whip my kids. And yes, I believe in whipping children. Okay? Now I'm not saying beat them. No. I'm saying affectionately love them enough to spank their bottom. Okay? But there were times that I would spank my children. And then you know what I'd do? I'd go to the bathroom, lock the door, and cry. Because it hurt. Sometimes those stands we as a church have to take, it's difficult. And it hurts. But just because it hurts doesn't mean we don't have to take that stand. Because loving people enough to stand tells them that we care what happens to you. Okay? And just not saying anything and not taking a stand is saying, we don't care. Destroy yourself. That's not what the Lord's church is about. We have to be unified in our message. And we have to be consistent. Verse 17, Paul said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but He sent me to preach the gospel. You know, Paul never lost sight. Life never got complicated enough that he lost sight of what he was about. And you got to admire that in him. Sometimes we say, well, you know, it's complicated and we get torn in so many directions. But, you know, God has placed you at Victory Missionary Baptist Church for a reason. And that reason is to preach Jesus Christ. Now, you're not going to get up here every Sunday and preach from the pulpit. I understand that, okay? Don't want you to, because I like getting up here every Sunday and preaching, right? But everything you do leads back to that one central theme of preaching Jesus Christ. You may run a sound system. You don't run a sound system to run the sound system. You run a sound system so that the message of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. You may teach a Sunday school class. You may serve as a deacon. You may play the piano. You may direct singing. Whatever. But your goal, your talent, your ability as you use it will come back down to this one central message. Jesus has sent you here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. This series is called Called. You, as a child of God, are called to be in unity with the body of Christ. May we always, always take that calling very, very seriously. Because the body of Christ is what Jesus has chosen to carry out His work on this earth. It is too important to let things slide. It is too important to let those divisions grow. It is too important to ignore. Let me ask you this. How are you fitting in the Lord's church? You know, I honestly believe for a child of God to be happy, to be faithful, I think he has to be a part of a New Testament church. Maybe you're here today and you've not been connected with the church. You've been visiting Victory a while and you feel led to become a member. I'd invite you to come during this invitation. Come and join us as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Come and join our mission. Maybe you're here today and you're a member. There's been this little division thing between you and another. And this is getting serious, okay? And there's been this little division thing. They know it and you know it. During this invitation, you need to go to that individual and say, look, I'm sorry. I love you. We need to fix this thing before things get out of hand. Like I said, I don't know of anything like that going on. But if God's speaking with you to your heart today, you're accountable to Him. And you need to do what He lays on your heart. Okay? And maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, you need the assurance of heaven. You know what the joy of this life is? The joy of this life is knowing that you're never going to die. The joy of this life is knowing that Jesus Christ died for your sin, gave Himself so that you could have eternal life, paid for every wrong thing that you've done upon that cross of Calvary. And today He just says, come unto Me. He says, call upon Me. And whoever calls upon Me will be saved. Have you ever come to that life-changing point where you turned it all toward Jesus? If not, this invitation is for you. Whatever you need to do to respond and be right with God, I would encourage you, challenge you, and beg you, respond to the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for the glory of Your church. Lord, it's You that makes Your church special. It's You that makes Your church right. It is You that binds us together. And it is You, Lord, that will keep us moving ahead, striving ahead in the future. May we never allow divisions and tears in the fabric of Your precious church. I pray, Lord, that Your will be done now in this invitation. You know everyone, Lord, who's lost. You know everyone who needs to respond. I pray that right now You'll give them the courage to step out and say yes to Your leading. In Jesus' name I pray.